Hello and welcome to the Unbundled Attorney Mastermind Podcast. My name is Dave Ahrens and I'm the co-founder and CEO of Unbundled Attorney. In this podcast, we interview many of our provider attorneys, as well as some of the leading experts in the industry to isolate the best practices for building internet-generated leads and how to ethically and effectively offer unbundled legal services and other more affordable options in your practice. For more information about our services, visit www.unbundledattorney.com. All right, it is with a great excitement and anticipation that we are going to be having this discussion with Forrest Woody Mostyn. I know him as Woody. He's, as many of you know, one of the pioneers of unbundled legal services, and basically was the founder of it in a way, the idea, the word, the concept, and he shares the genesis story of unbundled legal services on this interview. And we cover the gamut from the different types of options that attorneys can offer, and from a perspective that I think is a little bit different than we've ever heard on this podcast. So we cover a lot of that. We talk about some of the main leadership in unbundled legal services, some of the things we need to overcome, some of the things he's most excited about nowadays in the developments in the state bars, in the law schools, and we really are going to have a round two coming up at the beginning of next year, because we just didn't have time to even cover some of the most exciting developments that we discussed at the Better Access Through Unbundling conference that occurred a week ago as of this recording in Denver, which was one of the first conferences about unbundled legal services in over a decade. So just so excited to have him on here and for you to get to know Woody, as we're certainly going to continue to stay in touch with him and unroll as much training and resources as possible to make your job easier and more effective at delivering unbundled legal services in your practice and for years to come. One other thing that came out of this interview is a great deal of resources, links to the Standing Committee on Delivery of Services, all kinds of trainings that have become available, a link to Forrest Woody's book, and a training that's coming up in Chicago, and a lot of other things as well. We're also going to be creating a blog post with it, which will be a resource post on all things unbundled legal services that you can contribute to. So you can go to our blog, look for that resource post. I'm going to link to it right in the show notes on this episode, and you can leave comments of any other resources that should be included in that post, and we'll just continue to edit based on the comments, continue to edit and add to that resources post so that anyone that's at any level of delivery of unbundled services can get more resources and training as it becomes available. So just really appreciate Woody's time and coming on board to share the whole story of unbundled services, and hope you get a lot out of it. So with that, we'll go right into it. This interview with Forrest Woody Mostyn, one of the pioneers of unbundled legal services. All right, Woody, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dave.
Yeah, it's a real privilege to be having this conversation with you and to have met you at the Better Access Through Unbundling conference last week. You've certainly been a pioneer in the industry and in raising awareness about unbundled legal services across the legal industry. It couldn't be a more well-timed conversation to be having and discussion, given what's happening in the marketplace and with access to justice. So just want to thank you for the work you've done and really appreciate you taking the time today to have this discussion with us.
Totally my pleasure, Dave.
Okay, so I thought a good place to start, I am sitting here with some popsicle sticks wrapped in a blue piece of string. And so I was wondering if you could share with us what words are written on these popsicle sticks, and maybe give a little background on how these popsicle sticks became part of your toolkit.
Do you have a preference as to which one I start with?
I do not, no. You can just dive into whatever ones.
Okay, let me tell the story, and then we'll go into how I use them.
Okay.
For those people who are listening and have at least a familiarity with unbundling, it's a consumer-oriented way of giving the client more control at lower cost and with no loss of quality of services in a variety of ways. The way that it came about is that in 1980, 88, and 89, 88 actually, I was the Assistant Regional Director for Consumer Protection for the Federal Trade Commission. It's a big title, but what it basically means is I supervised 16 lawyers that did various investigations where there were consumer problems. And one of the investigations that I was supervising was the problem with people who wanted to sell their own homes and how could they find buyers. And in the marketplace at that time, there were unbundled groups of businesses who basically provided self-help services for these homeowners. They provided flags and directions how to do open houses. They provided documents that a seller could use for a contract and other instructions how to fix up their house that would maximize the sales price. The one thing they couldn't do was get them a buyer. But there was another source of getting buyers, and that was the basic profession of real estate brokers. And real estate brokers had something at that time called multiple listing services. They still have them, I think, in many communities. Zillow has replaced some of that function, but it was essentially a list at that time, and then it morphed into a website of properties for sale. And in order to get on that list, you had to be a real estate broker. And real estate brokers charged 6% of the sales price. And many people didn't want to pay that 6%. They liked this idea of buying a $500 package from Help You Sell and then paying the broker to get on the list on the listing multiple listing service. And most brokers said, forget about it. I want my 6%. I won't deal with you self-helpers. There were a few maverick brokers, just like a few unbundling attorneys that we're going to lead into this. And these maverick brokers said, look, pay me $200 or $300 or $400, whatever it might be, and I'll get you on the multiple listing service. It'll have my name on it. And when a buyer sees your house, I won't charge you a commission. I'll just give them the address. They can come over and you can handle it yourself. Well, sellers love this and other brokers hated it. Now, by the way, you can substitute brokers for lawyers and we have a modern story. But in any event, in those days, the brokers then went rabid and they started to punish these maverick brokers, throwing them out of the real estate associations, revoking their right to go on the multiple listing service. And there were a lot of consumer complaints about that because it was hurting the public. It was depriving them of the source of buyers. And so that's how, as a Federal Trade Commission official, I got involved in unbundling. Now, remember, that's 1988.
Right.
In 1989, I went back into practice, and I was doing family law and mediation. And in 1991, I was appointed by the president of the American Bar Association to be on the standing committee of delivery. Well, actually, it wasn't a standing committee then. It was a committee of delivery of legal services. By the way, it's a great story how I got on that committee, but I'll save it for now. In any event, that committee was studying self-represented litigants in divorce, and there had been a study commissioned by two academics for the Maricopa County, Phoenix area. And they studied because they had a high number of self-representers in that area. And they studied these self-represented litigants and found that many of them were very capable of handling parts of the job themselves. But with a little bit of help, they would do much better. And I'm sitting in a committee meeting, and all of a sudden, I remembered the real estate brokers. And I said, what if lawyers unbundled their services? And then other members of the committee looked at me as if I were mad. And I said, what did I mean? And I tried to explain it. And over the course of several months, we discussed unbundling. And then I rolled it out with some conference presentations and some articles. And that's where the sticks come in. So this is a long answer to your very short question, but I'm ready for the sticks now if you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I appreciate you giving the background. We were certainly going to, you know, cover the story because a lot of attorneys that have been offering unbundled legal services have been curious about, you know, how did this come about? So I appreciate you giving some context and some background there. And yeah, why don't we take a look at the different factors in the story in the on the popsicle sticks and we can expand that from there.
All right. So I didn't dare roll this out in the United States because I didn't have enough clothes to take care of the tomatoes that might have been thrown at me. So I have a friend who is an innovator in Australia. And there was a family law conference in Australia. And he called me up. Actually, I don't think he called in those days. I think it was a letter, actually, by snail mail. And he said something like, would you come out to Australia and say what's new in the United States? And I wrote him back and I said, well, this is so new, nobody's doing it yet. And I just thought of it, but are you interested? And he goes, very interested, mate. Would love to have you come. So I turned to my wife, who used to be on Madison Avenue. She was a creative director for a major advertising agency. And I said, Jody, I've got a problem for you. This idea of unbundling is simple and it's complex, and I want to make it simple. I want to be able to explain to people who have never heard of it before in a clear and visual way. I would like something light so we don't have luggage that would be overweight. I want it cheap so it doesn't break our pocketbook. I want it tactile, and I want it clear. And in about 15 seconds, that's why she was the vice president of advertising, she goes, popsicle sticks and yarn. I said, what? Mm-hmm. She said, I know from your writing that there are seven services that lawyers offer. And they offer it as a full service package. Why don't we write the name of each of those services on a separate stick and then bind those sticks together with a little piece of yarn, and the whole thing will weigh under 3 ounces. We can do it for as many people as are in the conference, and everybody will have a goodie bag. Everybody will have their own little prop, and they will be able to play with it in the way that they think. And what do you think, Woody? I said, brilliant. What do you think? We're together. So she then asked, how many people are going to be at the conference? I said, only 200. So how's your math? 200 sticks. 200 people times 7 sticks is 1,400 sticks. So Jody wrote every one of those services on every stick and bound them together, put them in a little plastic bag, and we were off to Australia. Well, it was a big, big hit because not only could I show everybody the full service package, and I said they may not unwrap it yet. It's a full service, and I explained how that is the way that lawyers worked in the family law field, and part of the full service package was the retainer, and why did we have a retainer? That's because we didn't trust our clients to pay us because they ran out of money often, and that the lawyer did all of those services, and the client paid the bill, or didn't pay the bill, as the case may be. And people would start to unwrap the yarn. And I said, no, you may not unwrap it yet. We're not ready. Okay. Then I said, now we're ready to unwrap the yarn. And by the way, maybe if some of the people who are on this podcast will one day come to a training, and maybe we'll get them their own sticks. Okay, Dave. So we'll talk
about the training that's coming up in March here a little later in the episode to make sure they have that opportunity.
But we're not promising sticks. This is a different kind of training. So I don't want to promise that they'll get their sticks there. Maybe your company, in fact, will go into the stick manufacturing business. we'll discuss that as well. So I said, okay, now it's time to unwrap because you know what? This isn't working. Lots of people are not using lawyers. They're too expensive. They can't afford the entry barrier of a retainer. They want to have more control over their lives. They can do it, and they just want a little bit of help. So they want to unbundle. And so I said, okay, take off the yarn and spread the sticks onto your desk, but don't let them touch. They're discrete tasks. A consumer can pick each of the sticks alone or in combination, but there is one stick that is the foundational stick of all the services. Can you guess which one it is, Dave?
I'm sure. Advise. You
know. Advise. Exactly right. Every single service has advice as part of it. So you couldn't just take one stick. You had to take. Well, you could take one if it's only advice, but if you want any other service, advice has to go with it because that's the real benefit that people get. They get a chance for a professional lawyer, experienced lawyer, to give good advice and helpful tips and good judgment along with the tasks that they may do themselves or they may have a lawyer do. So, then I went through each of the other six services and then went through a number of the ethical issues and the practice issues. And I think it was a very successful conference, except there was a problem. Here was the problem. There was a spy there. The spy was from England. He actually was visiting Australia at the time, and he was from the Law Society in London. And he said, Woody, would you like to come to London to speak at a legal access conference? And I said, sure, I love London. I had gone to university there and I had lots of friends there. He said, I said, so how many people are going to be there? He said, 500. I said, no problem. So I went to Jody and I said to her, Jody, I got good news and bad news. The good news is we're going to London. We get to see some plays, see friends. And I'm going to be keynoting a conference. She goes, what's the bad news? I said, 3,500 sticks. 7 sticks times 500 doesn't require a Nobel Prize in mathematics. So we needed help. And Jody, of course, came up with it. She, first of all, did we automated and she got a stamp for each of the services. No more writing. So we invested, I'm sure, $10 into stamps. And we needed labor. And we had constricted labor right at home. We had a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. And they were put into harness. And they watched a little more TV. But while they watched TV, they stamped sticks and assembled them. And so when we went off to London, we had 3,500 sticks, and it was also a success. And people from that day still talk about the sticks, and that's why at the conference here in 2017, I decided just in a retro look at where we've been in unbundling, we bring out the sticks for maybe an encore performance.
Yeah, exactly. And they are a really tactile tool, and I think you know, looking at them and the different types of discrete tasks that they represent, it could seed some ideas, even in a lot of attorneys that we're working with that offer unbundled services, to think about unbundling a little bit differently, because a lot of attorneys are thinking of it like, you know, document preparation and coaching and then maybe and advice, you know, so those two. But there's a lot of others here that can be looked at as discrete or unbundled tasks that could be delivered in and of themselves. And, you know, we had Anthony Sanders one of our provider attorneys out of Salt Lake City on an episode, two episodes ago, called the Try It Before You Buy It enrollment strategy. And he had 20 plus unbundled service options that he offered, which contained a lot more of these unbundled discrete tasks. So why don't we just kind of go through each one, and then we could talk maybe about a little bit about each one, and then we can start to expand into where we stand in unbundled services today.
I'd be glad to do that. In fact, what I'm doing as we're talking, I'm gonna send you a copy of these sticks, a picture. Actually, there are pictures up on the Twitter, aren't there? So you can get them right off of that. And anyone who wants to look at the conference, it's hashtag unbundled now. And you can see the comments of the people at the conference. And the sticks have two or three pictures of them right there.
Perfect. Great.
So start anywhere you want, Dave.
Yeah. So, you can just go through them just real briefly, just run through them. And then we maybe can talk about, how this informs some possible new options in which attorneys could offer unbundled.
Okay. Let's actually start with advice. Let's not go past that, because I will bet that there are many unbundling attorneys who don't make the advice part of it a standalone service and advertise it and market it as such, as an assessment service, as a consultation service, as a planning service. And to be able then to have no other work that may be done. And maybe they'll choose not to do any other work. You may be out there and say, look, I just really like talking to people, helping them plan, helping them have informed consent, make a good decision. And then if they actually want work, I'll refer it to somebody else or someone else in my office. And you say, well, nobody would do that. Well, at the conference, I talked about two lawyers who do that and are doing quite well, thank you. One is Brian Burke in Santa Barbara. Another is Ron Owski, who actually does other services, but he has something called a divorce advisor service where people come in and they get a wonderful information. That is the most powerful thing that we can offer the consumer, is information.
We had Joel Harris from Canada, I think, there as well, who does.
Yes, Joel Miller
is his practice.
But he also does other things as well. He'll coach them on negotiation, and he will help them draft documents. And I think it's great. I think they can make whatever decision they want. Now, you also may have lawyers listening here who want to work in an interdisciplinary team, so that when someone comes in, they get an assessment strategy and planning, not just from a lawyer, but maybe from a mental health professional or a financial professional. And the Neutral Zone in Toronto, www.theneutralzone.info, is a wonderful, wonderful service where when someone comes in, they get a interdisciplinary team. So I guess my first thought for everyone is, don't shortchange advice on its own. It is the key, and thinking about having a standalone service of consultations may differentiate you from other lawyers. And I'm not talking free. I'm saying you get paid whatever you decide is a fair price for that time. Do you have any questions about that, or should I move on to the next service?
No, I think that's a valuable insight for attorneys to think about as well. Most often attorneys may be trying to unbundle with document preparation or with a specific task being delivered, and that's really viable. That's certainly one of the tenets of unbundled services. But just starting to think about, the other option is, in the phone consultation, you can just say, why don't you come in? We'll spend an hour or spend 2 hours, and let's just talk about everything that needs to be done in the case and just give advice to the client as a standalone. as opposed to individual tasks as well. I think what I'll do, Woody, is with your permission, just kind of lay out these other discrete tasks on the sticks, and then you can comment about any of the others that you like. Does that work for you?
It does. Let me just finish something about the advice, though.
Okay, great.
One of the first unbundled services, and probably the biggest ever in history, was started by someone you saw at the conference, Dave. His name is Wayne Moore. And he developed a hotline for the elderly at ARP, the biggest interest group in the United States. And they have more people than any other group. And it was 40 million the last time I checked. It may even be more now. And that was at $20 a piece per year. That was what I checked last time. It may not be current. So what happened in this hotline, and some of you might be thinking of doing this yourself, is they just call up for a question. They don't have to do anything more. And you can charge them by the minute. You can charge them by a flat fee up to a particular amount of time. You can do it any way that is consumer accepted and that is laid out in a fully disclosive way. So I just wanted to say it doesn't have to be an office call. It could be an email consultation. It could be a phone consultation or a video consultation another way. The people out there are much better at the technology than I am. I'm a horse and buggy kind of media unbundler, so I'm more of the phone and in person kind of lawyer.
Yeah. And then we've, of course, we've had tons of attorneys on this podcast that are utilizing technology and streamlining document preparation. So plenty of interviews that you can all tap into if you want to learn more of the kind of new school, Tesla version of delivering unbundled services in a more efficient, streamlined fashion. But, you're a perfect example and perfect embodiment that it doesn't actually have to be that complicated. It can just be 1 hour at a time in person, belly to belly, as an unbundled discrete task, simply advising the client. And then we've got other options, other types of tasks. I'll go through them. Discovery, providing discovery, drafting documents.
Can I change the word discovery for you?
Yes.
That's just getting facts that the other side has.
Okay.
See, one of the things that we need to do as unbundled lawyers is do simultaneous translation between our jargon and what people need. It's if the other person has facts that we need to have or documents, that's what we do. We don't have to necessarily make it formal and have interrogatories or document requests. It could be just a conversation or a letter that says, it would really help me in settling this matter if I knew X, okay? So there are two sticks. One is discovery, that's facts from the other side, and I have gather facts, which is a name of a stick, and that's from your own client. What do you need to know that can help your client, that the client can either knows herself or can get the documents and the facts very quickly, fairly easily. So we're talking about one of the things about unbundling is it's always been seen as a companion to litigation and the client being able to go into court. And I'd like the people on this call to think about it as more of a coaching peacemaking role, the way of helping people solve their problems well short of court. And that's one of my goals in developing this concept. There's an article that I wrote for the Family Court Review called Enhancing Peacemaking Through Unbundled Legal Services. And I can talk more about that later or another time, Dave. So another stick is research. And my view of that is if there's any task that lawyers are much better able to do than consumers, it's really thorough research, particularly on motions and appellate work and things like that. On the other hand, many times information is very available through public sources and through Google, and that the lawyer might just point the client on how to do it, and the client can do it herself. So that's a type of service that you can offer. I find that there's, as I said, two ways of handling it. One, it's very lawyer intensive, or it could just be that you point the client to the right direction. Then the one I think is the most important is negotiate. And negotiate could be where you coach the client on how to do negotiation with the other side, doing a latte negotiation at Starbucks, or a kitchen table negotiation in their home. And you actually help plan out how your client gets the other side literally to the table, what your client asks for, and how he asks for it. That is really valuable. The other thing is what you can do to simulate, kind of practice the coaching. And you can do that with or without a video camera. So I can go into more detail, but I'm just going to leave it there. Then you have drafting. Now, it says draft documents, and many lawyers think, oh, yeah, there are court forms. We can help clients fill them out. Well, I want to start well before a court form. What about letters? What about notices? Well short of ever going into the courthouse. And there are two basic ways that lawyers can draft letters. One is ghostwriting them for the client, and you as a lawyer can write it. The client just puts it on her own stationery or on her own email, and the other side never knows that you were ever there, unless the letter is so much better than what your client has ever done that it's pretty obvious.
Right.
A second way, and this had probably more buzz than anything else I said at the unbundling conference, was that people can pay for your letterhead. You can write a letter as a lawyer and limit your scope just to the letter. So you can indicate what your client wants and say, we would like a response that would go directly to the client. If you send it to me, I will forward it to the client. I will not respond to you. I have been hired only to write this letter. Now, later, the client may bring you in and convert the scope of the service to have you do negotiation too. But this is how you can start small. And then if it gets the job done, the client doesn't have to expand. And if it doesn't get it done, then you are available to do later work.
I'll jump in real quick there and just,
please.
If you don't mind, on the letter, you know, I spend a lot of time working in the legal access plan business. And one of the things that, for example, Legal Shield plan includes, and many of the other plans, is a letter or phone call from the attorney as an included benefit in their legal plan membership. And this was a benefit that a lot of people that enrolled in legal access plan got a lot of results from. And I've actually used that feature of my legal plan, which I still have with them, many times, you know, sending a letter to a cell phone company that's been uncooperative, sending a letter to other landlords and tenants, you know, with the letterhead of the attorney on that, you know, outlining what the laws are and making a clear demand for a return of a deposit or whatever it might be. And then there's obviously applications in family law as well. Maybe you could just briefly touch on and give an example of a letter you could write in either a custody, visitation, or divorce type of scenario that you found to be particularly effective, just to highlight that option.
Well, just a very simple one. In California, either party has the right to ask for the tax return of the other party every year, and to find out if they've made more or less money, and to exchange those. And so some judgments have that in it, and others don't. And that's a perfect example of how the client can say, okay, help me write the first letter. And then if it doesn't get a response, why don't we put your letterhead on the second one? And so it's using the least invasive intervention at all times.
Yeah, exactly. And then having it go more invasive from there. So maybe having them write it themselves, and then from there, perhaps, you know, being something where your letterhead is getting involved, because there's some implications when you receive a letter from an attorney, and that's the assumption that the other party believes, okay, well, now they have an attorney. Now I need to get an attorney involved, and that can escalate the conflict in an issue as opposed to keeping it peaceful.
That's exactly right. That's why it's a later resort as opposed to a first intervention. At the same time, sometimes a client just doesn't get any respect. It doesn't get an answer. And so this might let them know somebody's watching.
Exactly. Okay. And then why don't we cover the last stick here?
Well, court representation, I should just say, was not part of my concept when I first developed it. I had a sense that up to court, people could be coached. Once they went to court, they either handled it themselves or they handled it with a full-service lawyer. Well, how wrong was I? And who made me wrong? Judges. Because judges every day are flooded with unrepresented litigants who make an absolute mess of their own court representation. And that if they could have help just for a temporary hearing or just for one issue, and they could maybe handle everything else themselves. And so judges, when a pro se would come in, would often look around the courtroom and see a lawyer waiting and say, oh, okay, Mr. Ahrens, how would you like to help Mr. Jones? Huh. And you could say, oh, no, I really wouldn't, judge. Or I'd be glad to help. But one of the things that you'd want is, this will be it, though, judge, right? Today's hearing, I'm not on the hook anymore. And judges wanted to give you that help, that assurance, because otherwise you wouldn't do it. And that started these limited court appearances. And for those lawyers who are listening, who litigate, this is an incredible source of income for you. And it's something that the people need. Now, I don't do it because I don't go to court for anything. As I told the conference, I've been sober for nearly 20 years. I never go to court. I find that I make much more money. My practice thrives much better when I am a peacemaking office lawyer. But you may not have made that choice yet out in podcast land. And if that's the case, you may choose to offer the service of limited scope representation in court. And the other way of doing court representation is literally to coach, where you don't make the appearances, but you coach the your client to make it for herself. So you might do some of the court papers, and then they put their own name on it. You may practice with them of what will happen when they go to court. Clients are incredibly appreciative and are willing to pay for that service.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had a couple really great podcast episodes where attorneys we're working with have been given a lot of insight onto the specifics on how they offer limited appearances, how they explain it to the client, the types of agreements they form with them, how they charge and so forth. One of them being Dave Gross's interview from January 1st of 2017. It's called Chronicling the Journey from a Solo Practice to Small Firm, Limited Appearances, Contract Lawyers Scaling Up a Practice. I will link to that episode in the show notes. We've also had a discussion very recently with Thomas King, one of our provider attorneys out of Northern New Jersey, around how to overcome or at least safely provide limited appearances in courts that aren't as used to attorneys offering unbundled services or limited appearances, and some, you know, things that you can do to be proactive in contacting and notifying the courts that don't have procedures already to receive you delivering limited appearances, to avoid any confusion about the scope of your representation. So that's another interview that I will link to in the show notes with Thomas King. And then from your perspective, you know, and certainly from our perspective, we've seen states adopt this, you know, slower than others, faster than others. You know, some states have the notice of limited appearance form where you file along with your petition, and it's basically a self-executing document where you don't have to be worrying about at all about being, you know, tied to continuing to represent a specific client, because you literally have forms that are filed with your petitions that notify the court above that. And then there's, you know, a lot of other variances to varying degrees throughout the United States. Have you tracked or seen any developments over the years, or even recently, that have given some headway towards making it a lot easier for attorneys to begin offering limited appearances, if that's a solution they want to provide in their practice?
Oh, there are so many, Dave, as you might know. The ABA, Standing Committee on Legal Services, has a legal resource link with information galore for people who want to do that. IALS, I-A-A-L-S, the co-sponsor of the unbundling conference, has a number of resources from that conference that are right there on the website for those lawyers. And many states have packages of forms and instructions and protocols for the lawyers. That would be a topic of one podcast in and of itself. There's lots of resources, and there's starting to be trainings, as you intimated before.
Yeah. So what I will do is make this episode a resource intensive show notes, in the sense that I will provide links to the ABA Standing Committee for the Delivery of Legal Services resources page, IALS resource page from the Better Access Through Unbundling Conference resources. I'll link there. And then some other resources that you've provided so generously, including a link to your website, Woody, because you have, I was spending a lot of time going through it over the past few days, and you have just a wealth of information as well for attorneys looking to start to provide unbundled services, including a new book you just released. Maybe you can talk briefly about the book. We can cover the trainings, and then maybe we can zoom out a bit on some things that are going on in the industry as well.
Well, thank you. This book is, I wrote the first one, for the ABA Law Practice Management section. So that the Law Practice Management section is there to make money for lawyers. And they published my first book in 2000. This book coming, being written actually 18 years later, takes a year to get the book going, is a real update, and it includes a number of strategies and different services that many of your listeners probably haven't done. I'll just give you a few of them. One is being a client coach, client lawyer for mediations when you're not the mediator. When your client is in mediation, how to prepare your client for mediation, how to represent your client in mediation on a limited scope way. And then it has chapters on all of the various services that we've talked about, including a chapter on ethics, a chapter on successful models in the marketplace. And Dave, I have to apologize. Had I only known about your wonderful company, I would have showcased you, but I didn't know it before I wrote the book. And the book just came out the last couple months. So you can get it off of my website or the ABA, and it's a real resource. The AFCC, which is the biggest interdisciplinary organization, the Association of Family and Conciliation Courts, It really is the top of the field for family practitioners, is sponsoring the first ever two-day unbundling training for lawyers at a very low cost. And it will be March 5th and 6th in Chicago. I'm going to do the training. I'm doing it for AFCC pro bono. My other trainings are not pro bono. I get paid for it. But because they are making this available as sort of a beta test to give lawyers who are either doing it now or wanting to get into unbundling two full days of skill training, then the least I can do is contribute to their efforts. I've also been a card-carrying AFCC member for a long time and really support their work.
Yeah, so I can tell you, Woody, I will absolutely 100% be there. That, again, is March 5th and 6th in Chicago. I will link to that training to the website in the show notes as well. So attorneys that are, I would really encourage, you know, attorneys in the network to see what they can do to attend that conference. It's a two-day training. As you know, it is our hope, especially coming out of this, you know, most recent conference on better access through unbundling, that a lot more trainings like this are going to exist throughout the country, that this will be the first of many, many, many to come. And maybe you can talk about, Woody, just some of the things that you're most excited about in the kind of evolution of unbundled services, things that are starting, you're starting to see in various different states, you know, the limited assistance representation training, things that are happening in the state bars. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of takeaways from this most recent conference that we just had in Denver. So maybe you can just outline, you know, personally, a couple of things that you find to be most exciting, you know, in your years of being exposed and involved in reaching out and furthering the cause and the mission and the awareness of unbundled services throughout the country.
Well, Dave, it's really our time. And it's our time in the sense that consumers have long wanted these services. They haven't gotten them for two reasons. One, they didn't know about them. They didn't know that they could go to a lawyer, an experienced lawyer, and just pay for the services that they need. And if they didn't know they could do it, they wouldn't do it. And lawyers who are really top-notch practitioners didn't think of unbundling as a way to improve their practices and to expand their practices. As Bill Howe, who is a very highly regarded family lawyer from Portland, Oregon, said at the conference, the lawyers who don't unbundle are leaving money in the street. They are basically just, if their practice is too busy and they want to cut down because they want to spend more time meditating or traveling, that's okay. But if they want to really help people and make a living, unbundling is their key. They don't have to learn a different substantive field, because this can happen for civil as well as family practitioners, but they do have to learn a different way of practicing, a way that the lawyer and the client are partners from the very beginning. They have to have the sense that clients may not follow their advice and may muck it up, and they have to be able to have the tolerance and the bandwidth to do that. So what I'm excited about is right now, most states have good laws, unbundling-friendly laws. What they don't have necessarily are good forms. And further, what they don't have are people who are trained and those younger practitioners who may have finished an incubator or just starting with to put a shingle over their head, they may not be supervised. They may not have the right mentoring. And so one of the things I'm very excited about your company, Dave, is that you make that quality as part of your mission. And I was very impressed with that at the conference. And the fact that it isn't just that you want to make your lawyers available. You want to make them available with quality services. And I don't believe that consumers have to trade quality for price. They may have to be willing not to have the lawyer do it as much work. And if a lawyer doesn't do as much work, there may be a diminution in quality because very few lay people can do things as well as lawyers. But then it's a trade-off. It is a financial, grown-up, consumer trade-off. And I believe I trust people. I trust consumers to make good decisions. And if they choose to do it themselves, they know they're going to take a hit in quality, and they may take a hit in a result, but that's their choice. The more they want to use you as a lawyer, the better their quality will be and the better their results. And so it's a very, very exciting time, and I can only see it growing. Nobody's really against it, Dave. There's no opposition to unbundling. The biggest problem is that there isn't the proactive training, development of resources and forms ready for the people to use them.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I think that I'll get your perspective on this, but I really agree 100%. I appreciate your comments about what we're doing for unbundled legal services in quality and also affordability while attorneys can continue to be profitable delivering it. And I appreciate your comments that you shared from Bill Howe about how much attorneys are leaving on the table financially by not delivering these services. And we've had 40 plus episodes outlining how to deliver them profitably in your practice and efficiently. You mentioned something, such as incubators and training. As someone that's taught at UCLA at the law school there, maybe you could speak just briefly about what you need to see, what you would like to see happen at law schools. Maybe you can share what's happening with some of the incubators that are popping up around the country to train and make awareness and educate attorneys on how to effectively deliver these services in their practice, as that seems to be something that's been missing. That is a really important component of this becoming, a real self-evident component of any lawyer's practice.
Dave, are you open to a friendly amendment?
Yes, please share the law, the vision you have for the law. Yeah.
No, a friendly amendment. The rule is our time is almost up. In fact, it is up. I've got to run. How about that? If you'll consider having me back after the first of the year, we can make the question that you just asked the start of our conversation. And you might even have people who've listened here who can send in questions to you. And you can have use those questions as the start of a second podcast.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, Woody. And so what I will do, just kind of being inspired on this episode, is I will create a new blog post on our blog. blog.unbundledattorney.com is the blogger. You just go to unbundledattorney.com /blog. I'll create a new post with all the resources that have been outlined that we are aware of. And I want to make this something that people can contribute to in the community. And so there'll be a place where you can leave comments with any additional resources, ideas, discussions, things that you found helpful, learning how to unbundle services, how to deliver unbundled services in your practice. And then, we can basically compile all those resources into one hub and certainly implement it into our onboarding and our training with any attorneys that come to work with us. And of course, link any of the resources we've talked about in this episode in the show notes for this episode as well. And I will link to that blog post as soon as we, get this episode live. And we'll just be continuing to add resources to that episode as we go. And then we can certainly discuss, what needs to happen at the level of our law schools and educators to, make this something that becomes self-evident across the country. So with that, Woody, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast today and share so openly. We certainly appreciate all the work you've been doing tirelessly
I have
20
one more
plus
thing.
Years.
We haven't talked about my compensation for today. May I tell you what I'd like?
Okay, please.
Right, with all of your listeners, I want one of your t-shirts. You have the greatest t-shirt, and I think, is that an appropriate compensation for my time today? I would love to have a t-shirt to wear and let people see it. I think it will, it'll, it'll, I'll be branding your company too. But it also says Unbundled Legal Services. I think it's great.
Yeah, thank you so much. And what size do you wear, Woody?
Extra large.
XL. I will get our team to get a t-shirt to you immediately in the mail, or straight away after this podcast. So more than happy to provide that conversation. We'll be looking for a picture with you sporting it.
Good. No hats, no buttons. It's okay. A t-shirt's just fine.
That's all we got so far, but maybe we'll have to get some more swag in the works here. We will be having a conference at the end of March, having our attorneys come together. That's when a lot of attorneys are first hearing this, but I'm actually in Denver right now picking out the conference venue. There's some beautiful places picked out, so maybe we'll have some more swag ready for the end of March for when all of our attorneys come together.
Fabulous.
So, but with that, I want to be respectful of your time. Thank you so much, Woody, for coming on the episode today. And for everyone else who's listening, thank you for your participation in this podcast and doing what you can to implement these services and unbundle options into your practice. It certainly makes a difference every single day. And we thank you so much for being a part of this movement. And we will certainly see you all on the next episode. For more information about how our lead generation services can help you grow your practice, visit our website at www.unbundledattorney.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to subscribe so you get each new episode as soon as it's available, and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Once again, thanks for listening.